Doug Whaley in the flesh, and you can get involved. You can text us questions for our GM on that text line. Brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Good morning, Doug. How you doing, buddy?
I actually feel younger. And you ask, why is that?
I haven't yet, but why?
Because I lost a literal day of my life. I didn't know this until I flew from LAX to New Zealand. And I left LAX Saturday at 10 p.m. I arrived in New Zealand on Monday at 8 a.m. So I lost a day of my life.
What are you
going to do? I'm younger. So I'm just saying.
Wait, you're younger.
He's a day younger.
Wouldn't that make you older?
No, I've skipped a day. So I missed a day.
Won't we make up for that in a leap year?
Every 4 years. So I got to wait 3 more years to get back to my right age.
Man.
Now, I'm wondering, though, think about this, though.
Uh-huh.
If you do that trip 365 days, can you claim that you're a year younger?
They did that in Dragon Ball Z. You would go into this.
Oh, man.
I know. I'm already going down Loserville just spitting this out on the air.
Hot tub time machine.
They had this hyperbolic time chamber. You would go in there. You would exercise for a day.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like you were working out for a year. Same kind of deal.
Okay.
So you went to New Zealand. Usually you come on here, you guys start spitting all this football jargon and my head hurts. Now I'm trying to do like life math. It's very hard. New Zealand good? You went skiing.
Went skiing. It is a beautiful country. It is all about, if you're an outdoorsy person, like hiking, skiing, water sports, all of that stuff, that is the place, one of the most gorgeous places. The other thing, you don't have to worry about a language barrier. The one thing, though, I will caution everybody, they drive on the other side of the road. So I didn't drive, so that didn't bother me, but it's crossing the street. You got to go right, left, right.
Yes.
Left, right, left. And I'm telling you this much, it's a real deal. I took a couple steps once, and I was like, whoa. So
it is scary.
It is.
When we went over to Ireland and get off the plane, get the rental car, and immediately you're in Dublin.
Yes.
And there's a bajillion people and you're on the wrong side of the road and you got to do the roundabouts but going the opposite way.
Yes.
Terrifying. The roundabouts.
Oh, there's no way I could do that.
It's scary, man, and the roads are so narrow. And the other thing, I don't know if you saw this, if you were taking a rental car or anything like that, Doug. You could tell when Americans had the rental car because the one side of the car was always banged up.
Yeah.
Like our side mirror,
yep,
didn't have the backing on it, and there's all kind of scuffs and marks. Yeah, people don't know how to drive the opposite way. It's very challenging.
And you brought up the two most challenging things are the roundabouts and then how narrow the roads are. You'll have shrubs like right next to, and you're just hitting the mirror.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's crazy. Yeah,
no way.
Yeah, it's a life-changing experience. I didn't start enjoying the actual travel aspect of it until we were about to come home.
Mm-hmm.
You finally do get used to it, and then you come home and it's all screwy again.
Yeah,
no. Yeah.
All right, back to sports.
You want to get to football?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the football. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Roster cut down day yesterday for everyone in the NFL, and the Steelers have, at least for now, their 53-man roster. What's that process like, Doug? I mean, when you were the GM, it didn't go from 90 to 53, right? It went from 90 to 75 down to 53.
Right.
But, I mean, how much checking in before that are you doing with other GMs, trying to maybe make a trade? What is that whole process like?
So the whole process, and it's a little different with the way the preseason games are shortened to 3 and everything, but what you want to do is either right before that last preseason game or right after that last preseason game, you're going to have your pro personnel department, Sheldon White and his crew, contacting every team saying, where are you heavy? Where are you light? Who do you have out there that you'd be interested in maybe talking about? Here are the positions that we have extras and we'd be willing to deal. Then you get a kind of consensus around the league of what positions and what teams that you should contact right before cuts. Call them cuts. Hey, let's make this trade, blah, blah, blah. I think there was 3 or 4 trades that were made. But what you're going to also do is last night they were waiting for that waiver wire to come out. And we used to sit in there with all our scouts, all our personnel guys, and then we'd talk to the coach before we'd go into this meeting and say, all right, here are the two or three positions that we want to really look to either upgrade or bring someone in that can help us right away immediately. And then that's when you start focusing on those teams that you called that have those positions available. Or people are calling you and saying, hey, you're heavy at defensive tackle. What's going to take to get rid of this guy if you're going to cut him? So that's what it, and then you just execute the deal. Now, afterwards, now you're looking at all these guys that get cut, and then you're calling those guys and saying either, hey, we want you to be on our practice squad, and you're trying to recruit them. Then it goes into similar to college recruiting. Hey, I know you were just there, and they know you, and they want to sign you to practice squad, but we have a better situation for you here. So it goes into the recruiting and stuff like that. And then there's the veterans that you may have not known were going to get cut that are getting cut that you're like, okay, let's put our board up for injury replacements, but this guy may be better than what we have now. Let's contact him.
Is there a universal position with general managers in the NFL that you want to have more depth at?
O-line.
Over any other position?
Oh, right now, O-line. Well, I'd say right now it's O-line and corner, just because of the way they go. As Coach Tomlin says, they just don't grow people too many people like that for O-line. And since it's such a pass-happy league, I think, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, wide receivers now have really become a dime a dozen. You can find wide receivers to produce at any level, anytime, and there's just so many of them. It's harder to find those DBs to be able to cover those guys. So those two positions, you always want to have an extra.
And so if you were in there evaluating the Steelers room, right, the Steelers roster right now, and you're talking about where are we light, where are we not, you still believing that the Steelers cornerback situation is a bigger area of concern than wide receiver?
Yes, just because of the lack of experience, NFL experience. Now, I've been out. I haven't seen didn't see the last preseason game, so I don't know how those guys performed.
Did not miss much.
Okay. Especially on the DBs, I don't know how they performed.
I would have rather lost a day in my life than have to watch that game.
So I did it the right time. Yeah. So I would say just because of the NFL experience. Now, if you're talking talent level, then I could see you're talking 1A and 1B, but they need somebody. The only other thing why I would, again, put DB is just if – my feeling is correct. The way they're going to play offense, there's really only needs to be two type of options on the receiving, and you got Pickens, and then the best, especially with the quarterback Russell Wilson, Freiermuth, and or one of the running backs is their second option. I just don't see a challenging vertically passing game coming from Arthur Smith this early in the season.
At corner. Because last year, the Steelers went out and they got Desmond King.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that'd be a big deal. I mean, it was a place that they were weak. They get a guy who'd done it in the league before. He'd been an all-pro returner. It seemed like it made a ton of sense. He never played, never picked up the defense, and that was that. Let's say they do go out and find a good slot corner in the next couple of days. Can that guy play ahead of a Beanie Bishop that you have had who at least knows what's going on?
The only way he could come in and play right away is we're talking a veteran that has been in this system or a similar system. So he can feel very comfortable stepping off the bus and onto the field. You get a guy that's never played in the Mike Tomlin type defense, picking up. Now, again, defense is a defense. It's really just picking up the terminology and knowing what is being asked of you to do. And that's why they say that Belichick saying, do your job. There's no more quintessential phrase in football than to do your job. But if you don't know how to do your job, then that exposes the defense, and that's the hole that most veteran quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers will be like, check, check, that guy, let's go there.
Easier to pick up a defense as a nickel or a corner than is to pick up an offense as a receiver, right?
I would say so, yeah. Because a lot of times if you have a guy that's that talented, then you implore to the coach saying, until he gets up to speed, just give him the cat coverage. You got that cat.
I like what you say that. Just go get that dude over there.
That's it.
See him? He's fast. Go run with him.
Yep.
All right, when we come back, Justin Fields also fast, but Russell Wilson, we all believe, is going to be the Steelers' starting quarterback. But is it the right call? We'll talk to Doug about that when we return. Some pit stuff to get into, some big news out there that we'll react to with Doug as well. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Because there's two different styles of quarterback, why give someone a little extra time to prepare? I think you're preparing for Russell Wilson. There's a There's, you can see that, you know, he's going to stay in the pocket. He's not looking to run. He's looking to throw down the field. Justin Fields is an element in the running game. He's another guy that he's an option. So I think it's just doing it from a strategical standpoint. And obviously you're going down with Arthur Smith, his first game at Atlanta, where he just came from. And so I think Russell will be the starter, and I think it'll be a package of plays that you'll have for Justin Fields. And you see how that evolves through the course of the season.
Bill Cowher asked why Tomlin hasn't announced a starting quarterback. Now, we all believe it's going to be Russ Wilson. Good stuff there from Cowher. We'll react to more of what he had to say. But assuming it's Russ, Doug Whaley joins us until 10 o'clock. Right call, in your opinion?
I do think it's a right call, but I think a better call is not announcing the starter until the latest possible moment that you have to, in accordance to NFL rules, just to keep the Falcons in limbo. And Coach Cowher brought that up, to have them dedicate practice time to both those quarterbacks, because there's both different styles. So you're going to have, like Cowher said, a pocket guy and Russell Wilson that will every once in a while get chunk yards, or you have a prolific runner that can throw in Justin Fields. So totally different styles. Make them dedicate practice time, film time, study time to both different sets of quarterbacks and the challenges both of them have, and it just gives you any slight edge as possible, especially the first game of a new offense, new offensive coordinator, new offensive quarterbacks.
So, do you think that they've asked Justin Fields if he'd be interested in the slash role, like outside of quarterback, receiver, or even running back, and just utilize him in that package? And if you were Justin Fields, do you think that you'd be okay with that, or would you just want to be quarterback and packages for me playing quarterback?
I think I don't know Justin Fields, but as all quarterbacks, especially a guy that's been labeled an athletic quarterback, they want to be a quarterback. Give me special plays that accentuate my quarterback ability, but I can convert to my running ability if it's not there. I personally would be a little worried about having packages as a slash, because then what that's saying to Justin is, this is how we see you now. And if you're trying to sign him for future, he's going to say, wait a minute, you saw me as slash, not a quarterback. What are you going to sign me as? So I'm just thinking a step ahead. And that's why you always like, you're a quarterback. We're going to have quarterback packages for you. Now, if you, like I said, if you end up breaking it and it's not there and you run, that's great. But we don't want you come in there thinking run first and then play here or play there is a pass play.
Do you think they will do that? And do you think they should do that? Have quarterback packages in their form?
I think so. I mean, when you're talking about red zone packages, third and one, all those type of things that you can throw the defense in flux, why not? Because it's all about winning. And you can also set to Justin saying, here's a taste of how we are going to use you next year. And it's not just running the ball. It's in special situations, but again, in these special situations, the first option is passing, and then it's running. And then he can get a feel like, hey, these guys do believe in my quarterback ability, not my running ability.
How do you think Russ will handle that? Or how should he handle that? I think we kind of know how he should handle it. He should handle it as a, you know, I got to be a team player. I got to have this perception of I want to revamp my career, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff being said about me. And, you know, my play the last couple of years haven't been great. But how do you think he would react to that?
That's a very good question. And not knowing him personally, I think that there's two ways he could go. He can say, hey, listen, this is all well and good the first three or four games of the year until I hit my stride. But once I start hitting my stride and I'm cooking, we don't need this guy. Now, but he's also got to understand, I put myself in the situation to be here. I got a team paying me a bunch of money not to play for them, and I haven't performed at the best level or the highest level that people would want not to have a guy come in and take some reps away from me. So self-evaluation, I think, is the key to life. I just haven't been around Russ enough, except when he was coming out in college, to know where he is mentally as a person and say, I am here and this is what I need to get to where I want to go, or back to where everybody perceived me to be when I was a starting quarterback with the Seahawks.
Apart from those package plays that you would have Justin Fields running, I mean, how long of a leash would you give to Russell Wilson as the guy? Like, he's named starter. would you cement him in that role for half the season, no matter what happens, four games, no matter what happens? How would you deal with that?
I think it's one of those, and it's similar to what they did with Trubisky. Everybody will know. Not only will the fans know, but more importantly, the people in that locker room will know. And Coach T has been around long enough, and he's very astute at his job. He doesn't want to lose that locker room. And, Dorn, you can attest to this. The people that know better than anyone who should be starting and who's the best person for the job are the guys in the locker room.
Interesting.
And he's interesting. He was beloved in Chicago, Justin Fields.
Yes. And I said that. Think about this. When all of this was going down, there was no one that on Russell Wilson's team, Denver, like, oh, we're going to miss that guy. He was such a leader. To a man, there was everybody standing up in Chicago saying, I love that guy. He is a definite leader. We're going to miss him. Sorry to see him go. Wish him nothing but luck. So that just shows you a little bit. But again, though, when it comes down to it, production trumps all. So who's going to produce?
Well, that's why I don't think I'd do the package stuff with Justin Fields. He comes in, he busts off a 70-yarder because he's an athletic freak, and all of a sudden Russ throws an interception. All of a sudden, yo.
Like, yep.
I don't want there to be a schism, Doug.
Right. Well, the only thing that holds that schism back is when you look at Justin Fields' preseason play. The same things that were brought up when he was the starting quarterback at the Bears, turnovers, sacks, are still perpetuating in his play now. So it's not the lack of talent. It's not bad coaching. Sometimes he is what he is, and he might just be a special situation quarterback. I don't know. We'll see. But this next year or two will define his career, because the same things are popping up over and over in a different situation. So after a while, it's the gun, not the person pulling the trigger.
Point of no return for Brandon Ayuk, question mark. We'll talk to Doug about that. Coming up, also a big bubbling football story here in the city of Pittsburgh. We absolutely have to talk about that again. Social media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. As someone just texted in, I'm not going to read this one, that Whaley's been in studio more lately than Starkey. I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to put that one out there. Schedule your heart screening today, by the way. Trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. So Adam Schefter goes on the television yesterday, and he says that there's no deal close to being done with Brandon Ayuk, whether it be with the 49ers or for a trade partner. And Doug, now that the rosters were cut down yesterday, I'm just wondering from your standpoint, if you're Omar Khan, at what point do you just say, we can't continue to wait on something like this? Is there a point of no return, a drop dead date, a deadline? Like, how do you proceed moving forward?
In my opinion, here's what you would say. Call up John Lynch. John, it's Omar. Listen, I don't know what you guys are doing. You have my number and you have our offer. I won't call you. Call me if it ever comes back around. And then you just set it, park it, but you're starting to focus on other things. And when you call me, the offer might still be there. It might be less. It might be more. But right now, this back and forth, we need to move forward, because we're about to play games and we need to start focusing on winning and not building this roster.
Now, they have to sign a receiver, right? Or are you still okay with what they have? Like, I mean, like, it's tough to like think about this receiving room and it being explosive and actually, you know, approaching defenses and defensive coordinators staying up at night being like, we have to stop these guys.
I would say this, whoever you sign, is it going to be a marketable upgrade from what you have now? They're on the street for a reason right now, especially right now. So unless you're going to go out and get a trade, and it may not even trade for Brandon Ayuk, it might be another receiver, someone that is a legitimate upgrade on what you have, then yes, do it. But if you're just trying to bring in another body, that's not going to excite me. It's somebody that's gotten cut, that's out there. I mean, KJ Hamler, come on. What are you going to do?
Yeah. There is not
Donovan Peoples-Jones. I mean, yeah, that's great, but it's not going to fire you up or put fear into Atlanta's defensive coordinators.
Right, like Noah Brown's out there, Kadarius Toney's out there. You just mentioned Donovan Peoples-Jones, and I think the best thing you could say about any of those guys coming in would be they're intriguing. Intriguing to me, that doesn't get you much. You need a known commodity.
Right. Now, if you want to bring them in, get them up to speed and see how things shake out the first two games, and if those guys, Van Jefferson, all those guys don't work out, you have this guy slide in, but you're still not upgrading. You're really just spinning your wheels.
Are you worried about Broderick Jones? I mean, he hasn't had a good preseason, and he is going to probably start at right tackle. But if Faltano is healthy, and when he does become healthy, Broderick's going to move to left, but he still has Dan Moore that he has to beat out. And there's a possibility that he could be beaten out by Dan Moore Jr. Like, should people be worried about Broderick Jones? I mean, they traded up to get him last year in the first round.
What worries me with the talent that you see and knowing he produced at a very significant level in the NFL as a rookie last year, what's going on off the field? That, to me, has to be investigated of why is he not taking that jump? And Coach always says from year one to year two, you want to see a marketable jump. If he's where he is now and it seems like he's been stagnant and maybe regressed a little bit, it's obviously not for his ability. Seems like everybody else on the offensive line has developed under Pat Meyer. Is there something off the field that is keeping him from taking that step? I'm not saying there is, but that's something that I would look into as Mike T, Omar Khan, Pat Meyer. Is there anything else going on in your personal life that is hindering you from making this step? I don't know.
I asked Ray Fittipaldi earlier if they're screwing with him a little bit, like messing up the development here. And you know, he said injuries have a lot to do with this, and I get that. I mean, Broderick Jones himself is banged up. Troy Faltano, who you wanted to be your right tackle, he's probably now not going to be ready to start on the opener on September 8th. What I don't understand is, if Broderick Jones is earmarked as your left tackle of the future, which is something that Omar Khan said this year, why would you not just put Dan Moore Jr. at right tackle? They all announce he can't do it. He said he can't do it. So the hell what? Yeah, we're your coaches, you're on our payroll, you're playing right tackle, so that our left tackle of the future can get reps at that position now.
That's, I would do it, it's not even like that. Like, all right, you don't want to play left, you can't play right, and you say you can't play right, guess what? Well, then you're backup left tackle. That's it. And as a team, at least you know you've got a starting tackle that's played and produced in this league. Obviously, not at the level that you wish, but if something goes wrong, like a Faltano getting hurt, you can move Broderick over, and then you can still have a complement of five offensive linemen that can produce. I've always been thought of in the process of get your best players on the field. Your five best offensive linemen, I don't care where they're playing, as a group, is this your best offensive line group that you can put on the field? And it seems like either they don't follow that philosophy, which that's fine, or they think that group is their five best offensive linemen.
I want to have enough time to talk about this big story, so I want to take a break now, if that's okay with you guys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Massive football-related story here in Pittsburgh, and we're going to need some time to talk about it, to suss it all out when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Saw this on one of our favorite Twitter accounts, that Pittsburgh Scanner account, Lawrenceville, Penn Ave, caller says that a man wearing a Pirates jersey is just screaming. Do you think it's just O'Neill Cruz practicing calling off Ellie De La Cruz? Brian De La Cruz or Brian Reynolds? Could be. All right, the big story in Pittsburgh sports right now, I mean, you got O'Neill Cruz, you got the Steelers, obviously, you got the start of college football. Heather Like, reportedly a finalist for the Northwestern Athletic Director job. Jerry DiPaolo reported this locally. I saw Mike Vukovican reported this locally. Nationally, people are all over it. She's one of three finalists. And, I mean, Doug, if she leaves, you replacing her? What's going on? Is that fair? I probably shouldn't do that to Doug.
Well, I look at it this way. It shouldn't be a surprise to the Pitt contingents out there. Obviously, she was a finalist at the Ohio State AD job. She was the 2023 Cushman and Wakefield AD of the year. If you look at the success of some of the programs, I mean, you look at women's volleyball, three straight Final Fours, women's soccer, baseball, all these other sports that have flourished, not to mention ACC title for the football team, the basketball team making strides. So, of course, she's going to be on that list of people that colleges are going to be interested in. You look at an institution like Northwestern, very highly academic-focused institution that kind of fits with her background and compliance. They're in the Big Ten where she cut her teeth. So I can connect a lot of dots. Now, she is going up against some strong competition with Jason Wright, a former Northwestern football player that was the first black president of NFL any NFL team. So she has it. But it, no, it doesn't surprise me. If she gets it, it's going to be very imperative on the new chancellor to hire somebody that can perpetuate what she has started. So it's going to be very interesting. Am I in the mix? I'm not talking about anything like that because that is far from where I'm thinking right now. I have a beautiful job at 93.7, the Fan, on Wednesdays from 9 to 10.
Yeah, you're more than Starkey.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it, to get back to it, when you have successful people working in your institution, they are going to be targets to get pilfered. So that's a positive. And that's why I always say when you hire a coach and everybody's like, well, hopefully we can keep them. Well, if you can't keep them and you're not firing them, somebody's picking them, they put that program in a position that someone wants to come and pick somebody off of. So this is a positive for Pitt athletics. You don't want to lose her, but if you lose her, then she showed that you can take this university athletic programs and put it into an atmosphere that other people are coming saying, we want that person.
Yeah, she would leave Pitt in a good light. Like, mm-hmm. She would leave Pitt in a good place. But as you were kind of alluding to, like, if you're Chancellor Gable, like, what type of person would be that next person? If this is obviously all hindsight, if that, you know, that hiring process goes down, like, who would fit at Pitt? Like, I personally feel that being a Pittsburgh guy, coming from the University of Pittsburgh, only Pitt people understand Pitt. So, like, I just don't know what direction and thought process will go down for Chancellor Gable to get the right person to keep this level of production from the athletic department at the sky-high point of view.
I think that's why I say it's very important that Chancellor understands what Pitt is all about and what type of AD that can flourish in a situation that Pitt is in. City school, urban school, in the ACC. There's a lot of flux what's going on in college athletics, but more importantly, an AD that is in tune and embraces the new college athletic ecosystem, and that is NIL. And collectives, and how, and then obviously the new mandate from the NCAA where you can pay up to $20 million to these players. You have to have somebody that is embracing that, that doesn't really say, oh yeah, that's what we have to do, but doesn't put policies and procedures in place to really exploit that part of the new college ecosystem in athletics.
Yeah, I think obviously if she stays, that's good for Pitt. I think if she were to take that job, then it's a fairly turnkey operation you're walking into. Not from that standpoint. I mean, I think Pitt's got a good infrastructure with all of what you just described there, Doug, in the ever-shifting landscape of collegiate athletics. But you got your basketball coach, and you're on an upward trajectory. Your football coach, not a great year last year. Okay, fair enough. You won 20 games the last 2 years. Prior to that, you won an ACC championship. So your new AD walks in not inheriting a mess. A lot of times, new ADs go in, and they're inheriting a mess. That would not be the case here. Obviously, the volleyball coach, Fisher, he's going to be here. Mm-hmm. He's under contract. So a lot of the stuff she's built up, you're another AD. You walk in, and you're in a position to succeed. And, hey, I don't know if this guy would even want the job. I'd hire Pat Bostic. I'm not even kidding. Pat Bostic, Pitt man, like you said, Doran.
Absolutely.
And you're walking into a situation. He understands the landscape of college football. Again, if Heather were to leave, that's who I would turn to.
And that's a great point. Two great points, one by Doran, now one by you.
That's outstanding.
Because the person walking in is now taking a very established athletic program and trying to take it to overdrive. Like, all right, let's take that next step up. Let's take that step to the next level of NCAA competitiveness across all sports. So, you're not trying to build a broken system like you got to hire this coach or that coach and everything. You got some things that are running on a nice clip. Now let's come in and energize him and take him to the next level, like I said.
We'll see where it goes. That we wouldn't be talking about it if there wasn't a ton of reporting around this thing at a local level and a national level. Doug, when we talk to you next week, we'll be previewing the Steelers. It's game week. We'll also have some college football to react to as well.
Yes, sir.
Can't wait.
And you're not going anywhere, are you? You're not flying to Australia or anything?
Nope, nope. No trips until the end of September.
I mean, it's so long from now. Where are you going then?
Birthday, going to Puerto Rico.
Oh, my God. I want to be Doug Whaley when I grow up.
So do I.
Doran, big show tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Yes. Get closer and closer to football. Right now, fam, weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com today. High 94.